بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, I greet you with the greetings of the Lord, the greetings of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're going to embark on a series of sessions and episodes on Thursday nights, inshallah, God willing, on the social reforms. What is needed in our societies is social cohesion and social reforms. We need to change our families. We need to change our societies. God would not care about us if we don't take care of our social conditions, if we don't promote peace and justice and equality for all, for the black, for the white, for the rich, for the poor. Racial equality. If we don't promote this, if we don't fight for this in our societies, God is not going to care about us, and God is not going to listen to us. And this is what he says in his book. God says in his book, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. God would not change the condition of any community, any society, unless they step up, unless they take things in their hand and they transform themselves and their families and their communities and their countries. We have to work hard, my friends. So, the most important thing in this life is building social relationships and social bonds between the people and the society. And the most dangerous thing in this life is to demolish, is to shatter these social relationships. How we make our country a superpower? Being a superpower depends on the cohesion of our fabric, social fabric, on the relationship of our people. What makes a society true, genuine, not superficial, true and genuine superpower is social togetherness and social cohesion. When they help each other, when they reach out to each other, when they respect each other, when they are equal, when it comes to the law of the land, all people are equal. When people live in harmony with each other, when people think about each other, when people are united and strong, this would make that society a superpower, a prosperous country, a peaceful land. According to the Quran, بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَرَبٌّ غَفُورٌ. A peaceful land, a beautiful land, and a forgiving Lord. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم says, الْمُسْلِمُونَ كَالْجَسَدِ الْوَاحِدِ. The Muslim community worldwide are like one body. But unfortunately today, when we look at the Muslim countries, especially some of the rich Muslim countries in the Gulf state, in Hijaz, in that area, in other areas, we don't find them to be one body, one structure, one family. We see this tribal divide and racial divide. We see people being divided into first class and second class citizens. And oftentimes people in the second class categories, they don't have any rights. They don't have respect. So Muslims are not listening to their Prophet, to the Sunnah of their Prophet, to the policy of their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Economy alone does not work. Economy alone does not necessarily make you a superpower. Neither your foreign policy or domestic policy. If there is politics there, if there is hypocrisy there, if there is corruption, if there is partisan bickering there, there would be no superpower. There would be no stability. That country is weak and divided. Even if you call it a superpower, it's not a superpower. Superpower, when people have power, when people are one, when people are working together, when people are respecting each other, when there is no superiority or supremacy of one race above others, or one religion above other religions, or one ethnicity above other ethnicities. In the eyes of law, the law of the land, people are equal. There is no marginalization of the poor people, the black people, or any other ethnicity. They are all equal. They all enjoy their citizenship and citizen rights and responsibilities. This is how you make your family, your community, your neighborhood, your country, your city, your village, your nation a superpower. This is how they become a superpower, through their unity, through their cohesiveness, when they are together, when they have one voice. So God says in the Quran in chapter 49, Surah Al-Hujurat. We must study this. It has only 18 verses. Surah Al-Hujurat, only 18 verses in this book, chapter 49. إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. The community of the believers, the faithfuls, are nothing but brothers and sisters. And brothers and sisters, they live in one family. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا. Therefore, mediate and bring together the brothers. If there is a rift somewhere, if there is a problem somewhere, if there is a boycott somewhere, if people are not talking to each other, if some of them have hard feeling about each other, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Try to mediate, try to interfere, and bring them together. Therefore, in Islam, we must take care of social relationships. We must take care of our people. We must reach out to each other. That is the very important foundation and infrastructure of the Islamic community and Islamic society. لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه. A foundation that is built on piety from day one. That foundation is strong. That foundation is everlasting. That foundation is not going to rattle. It's not going to shake. It's not going to be divided. We must build our communities on such foundation, sound foundation of mahabba. Loving each other, caring about each other, reaching out to each other, strengthening and deepening our bonds, protecting each other, standing for each other, supporting each other. And I see this happening in some other communities. When they protect each other, when they stand for each other, you enjoy and you thrive, you enjoy your life. You prosper when society is stable, when there is no wrongdoing, when people are happy, when people are together, when people are helping each other, working for each other, not against each other. This is how we really enjoy that country or that society or that, you know, community. When people are united, helping each other, there is no more worries. Nobody is going to worry. Nobody is going to have anxiety. Nobody is going to have fear. Nobody is going to have depression. Nobody is going even to worry about his family and his children, because he knows he has an extended family The whole community is his family. If something happens to him, there are people who are taking care of his family. If we have a poor person, then there are people who are going to rush to help that poor person. If someone is suffering, then we have the whole society rushing and getting together and mobilizing themselves to put an end to the suffering of that specific individual or family or neighborhood. We live for each other, my friends. This is the beauty of this life. The beauty of the life is not to isolate, stay away from people and think that you are better than them and you have no relationship with them. The beauty of life is not when you don't know anything about your neighbors and they know nothing about you and you don't even talk to each other. This is not a beautiful. Civility is when we know about each other and we help each other and we protect each other. This is how life becomes beautiful. Some people think that the more mosques, the more temples, the more churches we have, the happier we become. This is not the case, my friends. I've seen in many countries, they have plenty of churches. Every intersection, there are four churches, or mosques, or synagogues, or temples, or places of worship. Some people think that if we have a better economic infrastructure, it could definitely bring happiness. Maybe it might bring happiness. Maybe. Of course, strong economy, when there is jobs, when there is food available, when there is shelter available, when people have money, it might contribute into the stability. But not necessarily. Not necessarily happiness. Maybe comfort, but not happiness. Because comfort is something and happiness is something else, my friends. I've seen in many cities that have very tall buildings, skyscrapers, like New York, for instance, Dubai, Hong Kong, and others, Shanghai. I've been there. I walked in the streets. I did not see all people happy. In fact, I've seen some sufferings in their cities and other cities. I just mentioned some example of some prosperous cities and countries. There are some people who are living in pain and suffering. They are hungry, though they have the tallest buildings and the best technology and the best infrastructure. But whenever we have good relationships between people, علاقات اجتماعية, good relationships, social relationships, when we have respect and harmony, when we have a freedom, when we have dignity, when the law protects every citizen of the land, not just certain groups, every citizen of the land enjoys dignity and enjoys defense and a protection by the state, by the authority, by the whole society, then we're going to feel the joy and the real happiness and the real stability. لعمرك ما ضاقت بلاد على الفتى ولكن أخلاق العباد تضيق. Sometimes people flee from certain countries, not because the weather is bad or the terrain is terrible, but because they can't bear the social relationships. Social relationships are broken. The social system is broken. And when the social system is broken, the political system, the economic system is going to be broken too. We have to build the social system first. To build this affinity and respect and the togetherness and the sense of responsibility that I am, in the same way I'm responsible about my own family, immediate family, I'm responsible for my extended family. And the extended family is my community, is my city, is my country. Social cohesion is important. Therefore, my friends, today I'm going to speak, or tonight in a few minutes, about the very first element that brings social stability and social happiness, and that is the element of musawat, equity or equality between all the people of the society. They are equal before the law. All citizens of the land should enjoy the same responsibilities and the same privileges, the same rights and the same responsibilities before the law. Maybe in a society we have some noble people, the nobility, the royalty, ashraf. In every society we have, in Europe we have, in America we have, in the Middle East, in Islam, in Christianity, in Judaism, in Buddhism, in Hinduism. In India there is the caste system, and in China and in other countries. But all those people, whether they are noble or non-noble, whether they are Sayyid or non-Sayyid, whether they are white or non-white, they have to be equal before the law. This is the meaning of equality. All people are equal before the law. And there is no group of citizens are called first-class citizens or second-class citizens. All of them are first-class citizens when it comes to the law. And there is no discrimination, there is no bigotry, there is no bias against any, there is no racism against any group of people. No one should feel marginalized in this society or stigmatized. All people are welcome. All people are equal. And these discriminations that we find today and racism that we find today, my friends, did not come from God, neither from the messenger of God. Some religions promoted racism and superiority and discrimination, unfortunately, in the name of religion. It happened, but it did not come from God, neither of them from the messengers or the prophets of these religions. It is a man-made. Whenever you find a passage, whether it's in any scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, other books of hadith, speaking about discrimination, prejudice, racism, then this is man-made. This is not God-given. This is man-made. Many of these books and texts and passages were altered and changed and fabricated. And I'm going to show you some examples. In fact, all the prophets came to fight racism, to fight bigotry and discrimination. Musa alayhi salam, when he came, his community were being run down by Pharaoh and his company. قَالَ سَنُقَتِّلُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَنَسْتَحِي نِسَاءَهُمْ وَإِنَّا فَوْقَهُمْ قَاهِرُونَ. We're going to slay their boys, we're going to spur their women to use them as slaves. وَإِنَّا فَوْقَهُمْ قَاهِرُونَ. And we are subjugators over them. We are above them, dominant. That was his policy, that those people don't deserve life. They have to be slaves. So Musa put all his energy into fighting this racism and this bigotry. But Musa alayhi salam never said, neither Moses, that there is one race above other races, one ethnicity above others, one group above others, one community above other communities. He never said that this community are the children of God. He never said that. But however, when we come to the Bible, we find some passages that does not make sense. We find in the Hebrew Bible and in the Gospel, both parts. Let me show you. For instance, book of Isaiah. This is Isaiah. This is chapter 61, verse 5. I'm going to read only one from 61:5, book of Isaiah. This is the Holy Bible. See how See how it promotes sometimes racism. And Prophet Isaiah is considered a Hebrew prophet who came 700 years before Jesus. Jeremiah, another Hebrew prophet who came 650 years before Jesus. So let's see what they say in their books. Isaiah says in 61:5 that, and strangers, he's telling his community that you are important. The rest are not important. The rest of the people are not important. They are called strangers or aliens. When I came to America, I found this term, alien. Alien is not good. You may say visitors, you may say guests. Alien is not an ancient name, which is not nice. Not nice to use it against immigrants or people who come to this country, because we are all immigrants. America was discovered 500 years ago. America is not owned by certain race or ethnicity. America is owned by God and all the citizens who live here. They have sense of ownership. They are all citizens and servants of this land. Does not belong to a certain group. If some people think that they have more priority than others, they are wrong. Because let them go back at their family tree and find out where their mothers or fathers came from. So he says to his community that, this is Isaiah, that, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, meaning that you are the chosen one. Others are only servants and slaves. God created them just to serve you. Okay? Serve and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien, meaning other people, they call them alien in the Hebrew Bible, shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Okay? But, so other people are serving you, helping you, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. You are chosen. You are selected. You are the elite. You are the best. You are above others. You are superior to others. The priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. A language that I don't think a prophet would say this. These things were made later on. It has nothing to do with God or with the Torah or with the teachings of any prophet. Let's go to book of Jeremiah. And this is chapter 31. This is book of Jeremiah, chapter 31 in the Holy Bible. This is the Hebrew Bible. It says, verse number 1, at the same time said the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel? So God is the God of all the families of Israel. What does that mean? It means he's not the God of others, only for certain families. And they shall be my people. Quran says, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودِ نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاؤُهُ. Only us are the children of God and the sweethearts of God. And this is in the Bible, Hebrew Bible. So only those people are the people of God. Let's come to the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter number 7, Gospel of Matthew. Okay? What do we find? In verse number 6, give not, this is Jesus. Imagine Jesus is saying to his people that those who do not follow me, people who choose not to follow me, are dogs and pigs. Would Jesus say something like that? These statements are taken from these books and being exercised today in the streets of America. when they hate someone, when they kill someone, when they fight someone. This is what they say about them. It's taken from these books. These books have to be reformed in the churches. Otherwise, racism is going to continue. Prejudice is going to continue in the name of God. In the name of God. This is why we find some right-wing white supremacists who believe that what they do is justified because it's mentioned in these books, in the holy books. And they bring a quotation from the Bible. But this is not right, my friends. This is common sense. God is not racist. God is not racist. So Jesus says that, according to Matthew, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, meaning those who don't listen to you are dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, pigs, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. This is in book of Matthew. Let's look at the other gospel, Gospel of John. Okay, this is John. Gospel of John, and that is chapter number 1, verse number 12. But as many as received him, the Lord, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Only those who believe in Jesus are the sons of God. The rest are not sons of God. This is another problem, my friends. Would God say this? We all belong to God, whether we believe in him or we don't believe in him. Whether we worship him or we don't worship him, we belong to him. He's the creator. There is no creature in this universe that does not belong to God. We all belong to God. And God's mercy is extended to all, to those who worship and to those who don't worship, to those who recognize him and to those who never recognized him. See what this book says, the Holy Quran, chapter 49. Chapter 49, verse 13. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. We created you, all mankind. We created you from man and women, from male and female, and we made you into tribes and nations that you may recognize each other and respect each other. We don't have a nation that is superior, another nation that is inferior. A color that is chosen by God, another color that is despised by God. We don't have this in Islam. I started this session because of this terrible incident, episode, the crime that took place in Minnesota 2 days ago that shocked the nation, rocked the whole nation, rattled America from coast to coast. And I could not sleep the night when I read the story of George Floyd and how he was handcuffed by a white police officer and pinned down to the ground, and the officer keeps his knees on his neck for almost 10 minutes until he becomes motionless, he becomes silent, and he dies. These acts of racism, these horrendous, horrifying acts that is happening against those poor people in America. For the last 300 years, the black American, the African American in this country, in this nation, have been suffering discrimination and bias and bigotry and racism and injustice. It has to be stopped. It has to stop. This nation is not going to move forward. This nation is not going to be prosperous. This nation is not going to be the land of the free. If there is a huge segment, the black people in America, they make 12% of this nation. 12% of a nation suffering at the hands of a few who are barbaric, who are racist, who are merciless, that nation would not prosper. These things have to stop. According to the mayor of Minnesota, being African American should not be a death sentence. African American are people of God, created by God, and they are equal with us. They are equal to any color, every color. They are not a less of a human. Excessive force, brutal force should not be used against them just because he's black. These things should stop. God is not going to be happy with any one of us if we are silent, if we do nothing. This man died in cold blood, and the footage went viral. People saw that terrible, horrendous, horrifying footages of him dying before the cameras. These things have to stop. We stand with him, with his family, with his community, with all African Americans, with all black Americans. We stand with them in solidarity. We pray for his family. It's very heartbreaking. I have a feeling, a mixed feeling of anger, frustration, and sadness. My heart is full of sadness for what happened to this innocent man of 46 years old. It should not happen to any person. We need social reforms in America. Before anything else, this is more dangerous than this pandemic. What we saw on television, what happened to this man, George Floyd, is much more dangerous than the coronavirus. The coronavirus is going to come to an end, inshallah. But racism is a very dangerous disease. We have to put an end to that racism, to that bigotry, to that injustice. Because God says, when you stand with each other, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ You may be receiving the mercy of God. If you are united, if you are together, if there is no injustice against anyone, then God will send his mercy. But if this earth is filled with injustice, God is going to withdraw his mercy from us. We have to stand up for justice. Justice for all. Because this is one nation under God. This is one nation. 330 million people are one nation. They have to respect each other and defend each other and stand for each other. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.